It's my absolute privilege to introduce to you our guest. Pastor Sanjay preached this morning at our AM service here at Reedy Creek, and Pastor Robin preached over at Pimpamar this morning, and also blessed all the women yesterday at the Flourish Conference. I'm still hearing some great things as a result of that. So church, would you please give Pastor Sanjay a very warm welcome as he comes to bring the word. So.
Hello everyone. Good to see you. I'm gonna preach down here just so I can be a little bit closer to you. How are you doing? You well? Very good. Robin and I, as Pastor Noah mentioned, have come from Mumbai in India, where we started a church, and those guys are crazy over there. They really, really get into church. So they're really loud, they're very excited, they're very passionate. So I wonder if you could do me a favor, just to make me feel a little bit at home. If I start to preach well at all, if I say anything that's helpful, why don't you just get excited, shout, hoot, holler, if you'd like. If it gets really good, you could even stand up. Not for me, for the word of God, but let's make a deal. If I do not preach well, if you're actually quite bored, then do the exact same thing and I'll think I'm preaching well and you'll have a little bit more fun. Is that cool? All right. Yeah, exactly. Like that. Like that. Why don't you get your Bibles out and open to the book of Psalms. If you don't have a Bible, open your phone. I'm sure you have a Bible app on it. And open up to the book of Psalms. And we're going to read from Psalm 150. It's the very last one, if you're looking for it, Psalm 150. And give me a yeah when you're there. I've got 2-3 people. Anyone else there? So if you haven't got a Bible, get out your phones, open your Bible app, Psalm 150. Yeah. Cool. Anyone else? Yeah, I'm waiting. No, you did the right thing. I'm waiting. Okay. We can't wait too long, guys. Psalm 150. We're going to read the whole thing. This is what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. In the verse 6, the very last verse says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And just in case you missed what the psalm was about, it says it one more time. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to talk to you about the journey of praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that You would come and You would speak to us tonight. Lord, I pray that You would shift some things in our spirit, that You would shift some things in our thinking, in our internal value system. So when we walk out of this place, we're a little bit different. We think a bit different. We behave a bit different because Your word has come and begun to transform us from the inside out. I pray this in Your wonderful name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And everyone said, amen. And everyone said, amen. Excellent. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you're both talking seemingly about the same thing? You're even using the same terminology, but by the end of the conversation, you realized, perhaps because you had a different understanding of the same words, you're actually talking about two different things. Come on, someone give me a wave. Have you ever, give me a wave if you've ever had that experience. You've got to get participating with me, okay? This is just the way I am, so just help me out a little bit. So sometimes you can be talking about something and you're using a particular word and you think you're on the same page, you're only to discover the other person's interpretation of the same word or the same concept or the same situation is actually a little bit different from yours, so you're not on the same page. So I thought before I talk to you about the journey of praise, we better just make sure we're on the same page with what praise actually is. If we ask 10 people in the room what praise actually is, we might get 10 different answers. So I thought, how will we understand what praise is? How will we define it? Well, we should go back to the Bible. And here's the thing about the Bible, it wasn't written in English, right? So if we really to understand praise, we should perhaps look at the original language in which the word praise comes from. Here's something really interesting. I discovered that in Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew, there is actually seven different distinct words for the one word that we translate into praise. Not the same word, different ways, but seven distinct things that we all translate into praise. Here's the thing I discovered, that when something is important in a culture, it's reflected in the way people speak. That's why in the Eskimo language of Inuit, there's actually 13 different words for the one English word, snow. Why? Because snow is everywhere. It's an important part of their life. Well, for the nation of Israel, praise was a significant part of their life that God had wanted to literally ingrain into their culture, into their psyche, into their core values, and it came out in the way they spoke. So just before we get into the actual message, I just want to briefly go through what the seven words for praise are. Is that okay? So get your pens out or get ready to type something. This might be interesting to some of you. The first word translated into praise is halal. Halal. We get the word hallelujah from that, and it literally means this: to rave, to celebrate, and to be clamorously foolish unto the Lord. Very interesting. Maybe to help you understand this, you've got to picture someone who is an absolute sports fanatic, a particular team. Someone's team has just won the grand final and they're literally just going nuts. Have you ever seen that guy? Have you ever been that person, right? Like you see them sometimes, they're going crazy, you know. I just watched the grand final with a Raiders supporter, and he's been a lifelong Raiders supporter. When they scored a try, I saw sides of him that I had never seen before. That's the type of celebration that this is talking about. That's halal, halal. Okay, number two is yada. It means throw out hands in worship. Throw out hands to exalt God. That's yada. Number three is tauda. Tauda means to extend your hand in way of agreement and acceptance. So literally, I didn't really understand this, and I had to study it a little bit more to see what it actually meant. It literally meant when a crowd of people were hearing someone declare the goodness of God in a corporate setting, they might throw their fist in the air and go, yes, like that. That's what tauda actually means. It's actually a type of praise that was in the Bible. Yes, like that. That's what they did. And they did it when someone was declaring a promise of God that had not come about. It was like a statement of like, that's going to happen. You follow me? It's a type of praise, right? Whew, this is interesting. Hey, tauda. I don't know what you thought praise was. Praise might be different from what you thought it was. You might have thought praise was soaking and sitting. That's not praise. That's something, but it's not praise. Okay, tauda. The fourth word is shabak. Shabak means to shout, to address in a loud tone, to command in triumph. So picture a great victory and everyone starts shouting to celebrate it. That's what shabak means. It's a type of praise. It's not hype. It's praise. It's not what young people do. It's praise. It's not an American thing. It's praise. Just a shout. It's praise. You don't even have to make a word. It's just a noise in response to a victory. That's what that word, shabak actually means. That's number four. Number five is barak, means to throw yourself on the ground in adoration to someone greater than you. In this case, it's God. To just to throw yourself on the ground, lay on the ground, prostrate before him. That's a type of praise. Zama. Zama is the sixth one. Zama means joyful expression with musical instruments. Here's the interesting thing. Up until now, it's had nothing to do with music. Whoo! Like, we're talking about this crazy, loud, weird, kind of like free expression of the greatness of God, the victory of God. Is this thing of called prayer. And finally, right down, now we're introducing music. Now we're talking about joyful expressions in music as opposed to the more somber expression in music. This is a Bible concept, right? This is very different. Praise and worship or waiting on the Lord, completely different things. Praise is an actual thing, and it's significant in the Bible enough to have multiple words that describe it. I'm up to number six. Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah means to celebrate and to be clamorously foolish, sounds like the first one, in song. So that means the first one, which was halal, was just to jump around being a crazy fool for God without song. The last one is to do that in song. You know what I discovered? And I've never preached this before. I actually discovered there's another two words for praise. I've never preached this. Anyway, I've been preaching this sermon for close to 10 to 15 years. I've never preached what I'm about to say. I actually discovered in some research there's another two words for praise. I don't even know how to pronounce it properly. I'm just going to try. One is kara, and it literally means to dance. It's talking about energetic dancing to joyful music. The other one is tuck or tucker, which means to clap and applaud. If you ever hear a crowd of people just clapping, that's actually a type of praise. It's in the Bible. It's written about. We translate all those things into one English word, and we call it praise. So what is praise? Praise is this joyful, loud, expressive. It's either audibly expressive or physically expressive. Your body's either doing something or your voice is doing something, and it's all about God. It's not a prayer. It's not a request. That's something else. It's not waiting on the Lord. That's something else. It's not worship. That's something else. This is praise. This is a celebration of who God is. I could be going through a bad time and I can still praise because it's not actually about what I'm going through. It's actually about who God is. It's celebrating the Lord. At the very core of praise is allowing your whole life, your whole physical body. Doesn't the Bible say love the Lord your God with all your might? It's talking about a physical strength and energy that you allow yourself to come into to celebrate who God is. And here's the concern. Here's the little problem. Yeah, you could clap. That's the type of praise. Yeah, you could clap right now. Come on, let's just have a praise break. Just give God a clap. Praise you, Jesus. Woo. So here's the problem. We live in a society where people, where society in general is not a particular person. It's just an atmosphere around us that tries to sap us from true praise. Why? Because that's not dignified. We don't do that. That's not dignified. That's a young person thing. That's an American thing. That's a Pentecostal thing. No, my friends, this is a Bible thing. If you want to engage in true biblical praise, this is what it is. Whoo. And what I discovered is this. Praise is actually a journey. What is a journey? A journey is something that a trip you go on. It starts somewhere, it leads somewhere, and it completes somewhere. It has a finishing point. I discovered as I gained in understanding of this whole concept that praise itself is actually a journey. So I want to talk to you very briefly about the journey of praise. You know, all good journeys have a beginning point. Can you just undo the lid for that? Thanks. All good journeys have a beginning point. Or no, not all good journeys. All journeys have a beginning point. And praise is no different from that. The beginning point of praise, or praise begins, get ready to write this down. This will change your life. If you capture these three stages of the journey and actually apply it in, like you'll experience it, it will change your life. Not just hear it and be entertained by it, but if you actually tried this, it will change your life. Number one, praise begins as a decision you make. I know it sounds a little bit like an anticlimactic thing. I mean, I thought, Pastor Sanjay, I thought you were going to say something fancy. I thought you were going to say something more profound, something a little bit more interesting, maybe something a little bit more thought-provoking. But here's the truth. Praise begins as a decision we make. Why would I say that? Because subconsciously and sometimes consciously, we think praise begins in another place. We often think as Christians that praise begins as an answered prayer. Yeah, come on. We sometimes think that praise begins as a happy feeling. Sometimes we feel that praise begins with a breakthrough. But here's what I've discovered. Praise doesn't begin with a breakthrough, although you can actually praise when you've had a breakthrough. Praise doesn't begin only with an answered prayer, although you should praise if you've had an answered prayer. Praise begins with a decision of your will. I am going to express with all my strength and energy and celebrate who God is and what I feel about Him despite, watch this, despite how I'm feeling, who I am, and what I'm experiencing right now in my life. Isaiah 61 verse 3 is a great passage of scripture. Yeah, you can get excited about the Word of God. You should get excited about the Word of God. Isaiah 61, verse 3, is talking about what the Messiah, it's a prophetic word about the Messiah, this whole passage, and it's talking about what the Messiah is going to do. And this is one little part that says, we are given a garment of praise, or we will be given a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So it's saying that praise is a garment. Okay, this is interesting. It's saying that praise is like a coat, that you're going to be given this article of clothing by the Messiah called praise. And why is it going to be given to you? To replace the spirit of heaviness. Have you ever felt the spirit of heaviness? Have you ever felt just a lack of energy, a lack of spiritual motivation, a lack of, have you ever felt your, like your shout disappeared? Have you ever felt like your amen disappeared? Have you ever felt like so ashamed of expressing your joy and passion for God? It just seemed like there was a lid on your life. That's the spirit of heaviness. And praise was given to us by the Messiah as a piece of clothing to replace the other piece of clothing that's put on you. So you see, life tries to put things on you. Come on, someone. I'm preaching better than you are saying amen at the moment. So life tries to put stuff on you. People try to put stuff on you. People give you a look. A look. You start jumping around in church. People give you a look. They're trying to put something on you. They're trying to put some clothing, a spirit of heaviness on you. A sideways glance, a little, you know, mocking look. That's just spirit of heaviness they're trying to put on you. But here's the thing: the Messiah gave you something else to put on. You've got to take off that heaviness, and you've got to put on a piece of clothing called the garment of praise. Here's the funny thing: why did he call praise a garment? I'll tell you why. Because garments have to be put on. What am I talking about? I want you to imagine my wife and I are on a date. We usually have a date once a week, and sometimes we go out. I want you to imagine we're out somewhere. Maybe it's a little bit cooler. It's winter months, and we're going for a stroll, maybe after a nice dinner. Just picture this with me. And, you know, I've got my nice jacket on, and I glance over as I'm walking along with my wife, and she starts to rub her arms, you know. And guys, just a little bit of a side note, a little bit of a coaching tip. If you ever see your girlfriend or your wife rubbing her arms, this is your moment. This is your moment. It's not your moment to say, I told you to bring a jumper. I told you to bring... That's not what it means. That's not what it means. I'm just giving you advice. This is your moment to be chivalrous, okay? So this is where I would take off my jacket and I'd say, darling, would you like to wear my jacket or my jumper? And she might say, yes, wonderful. So imagine this. Imagine my wife takes my garment, my jacket, and she puts it over her arm like this as she keeps walking along. And as she's walking along, she's still rubbing her arms because it's so cold. What would I do? Eventually, I'd say, give me my jacket back. Come on, somebody. Because you can be given a garment, but you got to choose to put it on. To choose to put it on is a decision of the will. Some of us are waiting for someone else to move us emotionally. We're waiting for our favorite song to be played. Too many lights, not enough lights, too much guitar, not enough guitar. No, come on, somebody. We're waiting for someone else to influence us enough to get to a point where I feel motivated, drawn into it. No. My friends, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Praise is something that begins as a decision you make. You've got to choose to put it on. I'm going to shout. Why? Because God is good. But what if you feel bad? Well, that's okay. When you're feeling bad, God's still good. What am I? Oh, tonight I'm just going to wait on the Lord because I feel so low. But when you're low, God is still high. He's the most high. You can't get high. And praise is not about you. It's about God. So here's the thing. When you're low, you can still praise because he's still high. When you feel bad, he's still good. Come on, somebody. I know you might not feel like praise is actually about who God is, not about who I am or what I'm going through. So you can praise when you're bad. You can praise when you're low. You can praise when you're heavy. You can just choose to put it on. Why? That's what the Messiah gave you. He gave you a garment of praise. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's not a personality type. It's not really my personality. Well, I've got good news for you. Praise is not a personality type. So you don't understand. I'm a bit of an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Well, I didn't say praise had to make you feel comfortable. Praise is actually about creating an environment for God. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm preaching now. See, we're so worried about my feel, how I feel. What's my environment? What about God's environment? He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. He feels most comfortable in praise. High praise, passionate praise, biblical praise. You got to choose to do it. Just put it on. Put it on. It's your choice. But here's the thing. Journeys have a beginning point, but they actually go somewhere. And while the first step of praise might feel difficult, feel awkward, or feel hard, that's not where it stays. Because though praise begins as a decision you make, praise leads, number two, praise leads to the enlargement of God. What does that actually mean? What does it mean that praise leads to the enlargement of God? Watch this. In Psalm 34, verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." I'm going to just read it again. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So here's the psalmist. I thought, when I was younger, I thought all psalms were to God. I realized some psalms were to people. He says, "Oh, let us," he's talking to a congregation, he's singing a song, to a congregation, he says, "Oh, let us, or come and magnify the Lord with me." It's an invitation to go on this journey of praise. Come and magnify the Lord. And I was thinking about it. How can you actually magnify God? Magnify means to make bigger. How can you make God bigger when he's already so big you can't even comprehend him? So I had to think about that. What does it actually mean? It's did you know that there's a Christian language? It's a language people speak as Christians. Magnify is one of those. Oh, praise the Lord, magnify the Lord. And sometimes we speak the Christian language and don't even know what we're saying. What does it actually mean to magnify the Lord, make God bigger? This is what I discovered. You're not making God bigger. You're making God bigger in your eyes. If I used a magnifying glass to magnify something that was already there, I'm not making it bigger, I'm making it bigger in my eyes. That's what praise does. Praise brings God into correct perspective. There was a king a long time ago in ancient times. His name was King Canute. He ruled over big portions of the Great Britain. He was actually from Denmark, but he ruled over large portions of that region of the world. King Canute. He was actually a good king. People thought he was wonderful. You can read about him in history's pages. And his courtiers, his servants, they loved him. They thought he was great. And I read this article about him, and they said his courtiers, his servants, would supply him an endless amount of praise. "Oh, king, you're so wonderful. Oh, king, you're so great." And they would carry on like this. And it was something that he started to grow quite sick of, this constant, endless supply of, you know, compliments and praise. And one day he decided to teach his servants and courtiers a lesson. He said, "I want you to take my throne. We're all going to the coast." And he went to a beach area. He told them to take his throne and place it right at the water's edge in the sand. And he placed his chair down. A couple of years ago, Robin and I had the privilege of doing some ministry in Denmark. I've actually been to the area where people believe this actually happened, this stony kind of beach. And he put his throne down there, and he stood in front of his throne, and he stood up and he said to his courtiers, his servants, he says, "Am I the greatest?" "Oh, yes, king, you're the greatest." "Am I the ruler of heaven and earth?" "Oh, yes, king, you're the ruler of heaven and earth." And he looked at the ocean and he held out his hand. And he said, "Oh, sea, come no further. Ocean, stand in your place." And he sat down on his throne and he didn't say a word. His courtiers were just standing there looking, and he sat there. Time started to pass, not a single word, and the tide started to come in. Now the water is up at their toes. I imagine the courtiers would have been looking at each other, maybe a bit like, "This is awkward," or "What are we meant to do? He's not saying anything." But being good servants, they just stood there and obeyed their king, and the tide kept coming in, and it came up to their ankles, and he didn't say a word. He just sat there looking at the ocean, and then the tide came up to their shins, and he just sat there and looked at the ocean, and then finally the water was up to their knees. They're just standing in water. The throne is in the water. The king is knee-deep in water, and he finally stood up, and he said, "Do you see how little I am obeyed? Only one king rules over heaven and earth, and his name is Jesus." This is what he said. And history records that he left the coast, and he went to a cathedral that was near the coast, walked up there, he walked into the cathedral, he took his crown off, he walked up to the front of the church, and he put his, there was a cross at the front of the church, and he put his crown on the cross, and then he walked out. What was he doing? He was magnifying God in the perspective of his servants. They had elevated the picture of their king to a higher place than what he should have had. And he was simply bringing God back into right perspective. It is possible that you have, and I have at times, elevated bills to a bigger position in our perspective than they should be. It is possible that we have elevated the opinion of other people to a larger place than what it should be in our life. It is possible that we have elevated fear to a larger thing than what it should be in our life. It is possible that we have elevated our friends, our relationships, a husband or a wife, to a larger place than what they should be in our life. What does praise do? When you choose to engage in radical biblical praise, it does something to you. It might start as a decision, but it moves somewhere. After a period of time, after a moment, you start to see God a bit differently, the way he's meant to be, high and lifted up on the throne. Your faith starts to come back. Your fear starts to decrease. Your intimidation starts to fall off. You start to, whoa, pray. And then you want to praise. That's where you want to pray. God, don't wait to praise. You might not want to praise when you start to praise, but then you get to a place where you're enjoying the praise. Woo, this is who God is. This is who he really is. Oh, that perpetuates the praise now. Don't wait to praise. You'll get to the place where you enjoy it. Just do it because he's good. He's great. He's mighty. And what happens is you go from the beginning point to the middle point, and that is he's enlarged. But everyone knows if they've gone on a journey, you don't live in the journey. You keep traveling through the journey. And eventually the journey has to have a destination. Praise has a finishing spot, a destination. Praise ends, write this down. Praise ends in breakthrough. Praise ends in breakthrough. I don't know if these chairs are joined together. Are they joined together? No. Can I unhook them? Or can I have a chair? I need a chair. Thanks, Pastor Noah. Oh, here we go. No, we already got one. Thank you. Do you call your teams ushering teams, service teams? What are they? Here to help teams? Are you on the here to help team? Maybe he should be. Did you see how fast he did that chair? You got to talk to him. Just joking around. Now, here's the thing. There's a scripture in the Bible. Once again, in Psalms. Psalms is a great book on praise. Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. It talks about living in the praises, meaning praise creates an environment that draws the presence of God. That's literally what it means. But what I noticed is as I read different translations, I noticed that different translations interpreted it differently. So while the King James Version says God inhabits the praises of his people, the New King James Version says God is enthroned on the praises of his people. So I decided to do a word study and find out what was going on. And it is a little bit of a hard word to define and describe, but what I discovered was that the word that it was being used in the Hebrew language was trying to convey something. And it was literally saying that praise ushers in the king, like Jesus, or the God, and seat, it literally means to seat someone in a place of honor. Now, that's the language, but what does it mean? What did it mean to original hearers? The original hearers would have imagined a throne, to usher someone in and seat them at the greatest place of honor. That there's no greater place than the throne. So literally, the correct translation, in my opinion, should be God is enthroned on the praises of his people. So watch this. What it's meant to invoke in your mind is that there is a king that walks into the room, and he's walking into his throne room, and the throne room is created from praise, and the chair, the throne that he's going to sit on, is created by praise, and he sits down on his throne. You're meant to picture the King of all glory coming in and sitting on the throne. Now, what does a king do on the throne? The throne is not the lounge room. The throne is not the place he plays PlayStation or Xbox. Right? The throne is the place where he did official business from. The throne room was not where he hung out. The throne room is where he went to do kingly stuff, to walk in, and his guys were there, and his generals, and in ancient times, the king would walk into his throne room, sit on a throne. That's where they would discuss the war. That's where they would discuss decrees, make decisions. That's where the king would say something, and then everyone had to do it. Well, so what we're saying here is that what the author is saying, the psalmist is saying, is that praise, when you start to praise, it creates an environment for the King of all glory to come in and start to rule and to reign, to make decisions from, to actually do something from, to decide, well, okay, the enemy's coming in from that place. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Bang, I want you to do that. Go and fight the enemy in that area. Go do that. Go shift that. Go promote that person. Go move that. I'm going to declare something. I'm going to decree something over that man. Okay, he's now in this position. I'm going to decree. I'm going to make him in this position. That's what would happen on the throne. God will start to rule. I'm telling you, my friends, when you start to praise and the King of all glory walks in to rule and reign, he walks in to do business. There are times where you walk into his presence and he's there as a friend or a father. There are times where you come into his presence and he's there to heal or to comfort. But my friends, there are other times when you're in his presence and he's there to rule and reign, make decisions and change things and decree things. Here's what I'm trying to say. In ancient times, and maybe the worship team can come up. In ancient times, the throne room was not a casual place. It was an intense place. You had to be invited into the throne room. And not everybody could approach the throne. You had to be invited into the throne room, and it was intense. You would walk in with a little bit of fear and trepidation. I've been invited into the throne room. Nobody could just approach the throne. How do I know this? You look at the story of Esther in the Bible. And Esther, who was the queen, her husband was the one sitting on the throne. Even she couldn't just walk into the throne room when she wanted. And she was through a series of events. You know the story. If you don't, read about it. It's incredible. She had to approach the king to make a request. And because she knew that you were not just allowed to do that, even as the queen, that you could literally be put to death because you walked in and approached the throne when you were not invited. And she asked her cousin Mordecai, she asked her people, her whole people group, to fast and pray because she had to walk into the throne of the king and approach the throne to make a request. This was a big deal. Not everyone did this. You couldn't just approach the throne. And yet the Bible tells us that when you praise, the throne approaches you. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! Come on, if you understood what the psalmist was saying. If you praise, the throne approaches you. I'm enthroned on the praises of my people, says the Lord. When you praise, I come to make a decision. You could be here sitting in your car with McDonald's wrappers on the floor, stinky socks in the back. Come on, somebody. Haven't washed it, or grass clippings on the, you haven't, and as you're singing along in your car, tearing down the motorway. And as you're sitting in your car, singing your praise, maybe in the middle of your pain, the King of all glory enters in. I know what some of you are thinking. God is everywhere. It's the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. He's always in your car. Yeah, that's true. Just like the sun is everywhere. But I could read my book because of the light of the sun, or I could get sunburnt because of the same light. There's different experiences of the same sun. There's different encounters of the same presence. Don't be mistaken. When God comes to rule and you experience the ruling and reigning king, it's a different experience. And when you praise and you're in your room maybe at night and you're singing and praising and you got a CD on and maybe you're just doing it without music and you're starting to praise, the King of all glory comes in to your bedroom. You don't even have to have abandoned lights. It's just a choice to praise. I'm going to step into a moment. The time to praise is often when you're feeling the worst. The time to sing. See, often what we do is when we're feeling so low, we gravitate to the worship stuff, the slow stuff. I just need to soak for a while. Just need to receive something. No, you need to give something. The Bible says, when you give, you shall receive. If you need a breakthrough, just start giving up some praise. Oh, I'm preaching now. I'm preaching now. You might be ashamed to make a noise. You've got to break that shackle of shame off you. You've got to praise. Maybe you're ashamed to dance. You've got to break that shackle off you and start to dance. I had a letter written to me by, at the time, it was a 16-year-old girl. She was in a meeting that I preached in many, many years ago, over a decade ago. And I actually preached a sermon on praise, not this one, different one. And the whole place, it was a supernatural move of God. The whole place just broke out in praise and shouting and dancing. It was a moment. People started getting healed and set free. And I just remember, I didn't know what was going on in her life. I just saw her jumping around the front. I didn't know her. I saw her jumping around the front, shouting. She couldn't sing. She was just shouting, "Praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus." And you know, someone prayed for her, and she went, bam, under the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, she kind of praised God for about an hour or something like that. And I told people, hey, if you write me a letter. You know, this is back when MySpace was around. Some of you don't even know what that was. I just wrote me on MySpace, tell me your testimony. It's a long time ago, right? Some of you are like, what's MySpace? Whose space was it? It's MySpace. And so she wrote me this letter, and it said something like this. It said, throughout my whole life, I've suffered depression and anxiety. My mum was diagnosed with general anxiety disorder when she was a younger woman. She said, my mum's been depressed. I've been depressed my whole life. She said in the sermon on praise, I didn't realize that I was waiting for a breakthrough when I should have been praising God. She said, in that session on praise, I decided to start to shout and praise and worship God and praise God. She said, I had a tremendous breakthrough. She said, now when my legs are tired, I decide I'm going to jump higher. Now when I'm exhausted, I decide to praise harder. This is what she's writing in the letter. Now when my arms are weary, I decide to lift them straight up, because I didn't realize that my breakthrough comes when I begin to praise. It was a longer letter, different words, slightly different words, but that was generally what she said. Praise, the journey of praise ends in breakthrough. And I just wanted to say that God wants to set you free from every inhibition. God wants to set you free from every lie that you believed about yourself. God wants to set you free from every thought pattern that has held you back from entering into high praise. Have you ever thought about the word high praise? If there's high praise, there must be a low praise. God wants to set some people free tonight. You might say, pray for me. Let me wait in silence and have you pray for me. No, I just think we should praise. I reckon there's some people in here that in your spirit, something is bubbling away as I'm preaching. Maybe not everyone. There's someone here though, as I'm preaching, there's something stirring within you. You're like, oh my goodness, something is like, man, I want to be a person of prayer. I've never done this before. Not like he's saying, something in me. I said, this is your moment. This is your moment. You and me are going to come into agreement. You and me are going to make a decision. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask people if you want to make a decision to step into being a person of praise. And I'm going to count to three in a moment, and I'm going to ask you, those are the ones, just the ones who want to respond, I'm going to ask you to jump up to your feet immediately as soon as I say the word three, and I want you to just shout and clap. I mean, if you want to jump, you can jump. Just shout and praise. I believe as you do that, something's going to break off your life. I'm just going to count and see who stands up. Like, you literally could be the only one that stands up. I'm fine with that. I'll shout with you, you and me together. Let's enter into some breakthrough right now. But I do have a feeling you're not going to be the only one praising. Are you ready for this? One. I'm not going to ask anyone to close their eyes or bow their heads. This is your moment to break free from shame. Shame. Break the culture of shame in the name of Jesus. Shame is the biggest killer of praise, the attitude of praise. This is your moment. As soon as I say three, just jump to your feet and say, I'm going to let loose. I'm going to let the shackles fall. Just start shouting. Not a little shout. Not like this. Not like that. Hallelujah! Like that. You just got to go for it, right? Don't worry. I just made a fool of myself. You just join me. Are you ready? Two. This is your moment. Don't let anyone next to you intimidate you out of this moment. As soon as I say the number three, just jump to your feet, give them a shout of praise and clap, and just decide to focus your attention on the greatness of God. Just for a moment. We'll do it for 20 seconds together. Are you ready? I'm about to say three. Are you ready? Are you ready? 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 Three! Praise you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus! We worship you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord God, right now. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, if you haven't stood up, just stand up with us right now. Raise your hands all over this place. Raise your hands all over this place. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the spirit of intimidation. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Father, I bind and break the spirit of shame and I say leave in the name of Jesus. Father, I break the spirit of that spirit of fear that could come over people and rob them from being a person of praise. And I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Worship team, are you ready to pray? Do a praise song? Don't worry about doing quiet stuff today. Just get into it, right? Hallelujah. Lord, I break this spirit, that thing, that fear in us that doesn't want to be undignified. Lord, we'll be undignified for you and be a person of praise and usher in the presence of the King in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I think we're going to do it one more time. And as we shout and give God a clap, the band is going to start. I want you to sing a song. After the song, I'm going to come and pray one more time. But let's just praise right now. But we're going to start the praise song with a clap and a shout. Are you ready? One, two, three. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
Come on, let's praise.